versus Walmart, Mr. Villani.
May it please the court, counsel. There are essentially two issues presented on appeal of this matter. First is a threshold issue, and that is whether or not the threat of termination by an employer, in this case specifically Bobby Steele, to Ms. Beckel, that her employment would be terminated if she discussed this matter or the sexual harassment with anyone, rises to a level to amount to equitable estoppel. There is no dispute over the timeline of the events in this case as presented in the facts. It is simply whether or not the statement of Mr. Steele to Ms. Beckel, and again whether that statement occurred, is sufficient to warrant equitable estoppel. And in support of the claim that it does not rise to that level, Walmart points out in its brief a case entitled Shainoff, which I believe is distinguishable from this case, as pointed out in my reply brief. In that particular case, the Shainoff was an employee with a great deal more work experience than what Ms. Beckel had. He was discriminated against, he felt, by his immediate manager, in fact, the person over his department. He discussed this with a number of other employees, including other management, who in fact advised him that he should assert his right to sue. In Beckel's case, the facts represent that she had a very minimal work experience. She was a young mother of three going to work, much more naive as an employee. There was no contact with her with any other employees until she reported the sexual harassment. At the time she did that, she alleges that she was advised by Bobby Steele, her general manager at Walmart, that she did not discuss this matter with anyone or her employment would be terminated.
Did she receive any training with respect to sexual harassment when she began to work with Walmart? Does the record show that?
Yes, she did. There is no dispute that she received training. In fact, there is no dispute that she followed the procedural guidelines that were in place by Walmart in the event that an instance of sexual harassment occurred. She went to the immediate supervisor, the ranking supervisor, immediately after it occurred, Mr. Giles. He then called in the plant manager, Mr. Steele, Mr. Marshall, and Ms. Kessler, the human resources director. I would simply state that Beckel simply wanted to keep her job. She wasn't looking for an opportunity to sue her employer. The complainant, or the employee in Shainoff, was well aware that he had a right to sue. Beckel is not that sophisticated. I know that the law states that we are all imputed to have a knowledge of what the law is and how it works, but that is not necessarily the case in employment cases. There's nothing posted at the Walmart facility saying, hey, if you have this instance of discrimination, you should go ahead
and
file
it. Well, you don't expect the employer to post a notice inviting the employees to sue him.
No, I'm
simply... Is that what you need in order to enforce the statute of limitations?
Absolutely not. I'm simply pointing out that Ms. Beckel was not a sophisticated employee.
Well, I don't know. What is an employer supposed to do if he wants to preserve his statute of limitations? Just employ sophisticated people?
No, Your Honor, but I do not believe that the employer should then advise the employee that she will be terminated if she discusses it with anyone. I'm simply pointing out the level of
the employer has a legitimate concern with confidentiality during the investigatory period, doesn't he?
Absolutely. And I don't have
any... What's wrong with what Walmart said?
Implying that if she contacts other employees, I can certainly understand. Implying that if she reveals this or discloses the sexual harassment to anyone, which would include an attorney, presumably that her employment would be terminated, I believe invokes the doctrine of equitable estoppel. That is exactly the type of affirmative action taken by an employer that would raise the issue of equitable estoppel, in this case preventing or discouraging Ms. Beckel from pursuing her rights at law. The other issue is whether or not there exists a genuine issue of material fact as to whether or not Mr. Steele advised Ms. Beckel that her employment would be terminated. And that is really was the sole issue that was before the district court. This other issue was not raised as far as whether equitable estoppel was appropriate or not. Specifically, Ms. Beckel, her deposition lasted approximately 5 hours. During that period of time, most of the attention that was devoted by counsel to discussions she had with Walmart employees or management employees during their investigation immediately following the sexual harassment begins right around page 208 of her deposition. Surprisingly, it is very, very vague. It lasts for only a few pages. There's not really anything else. There was a question on there, did they say anything else to you after she represents to in her deposition that they, being Ms. Kessler, Mr. Marshall, and Bobby Steele, the plant manager, called her into her office. She said that they believed her. Did they say anything else? No. Ms. Beckel,
were you present at the deposition?
Yes, I was, Your Honor.
Did you ask her any questions?
No, I did not, Your Honor. In hindsight, it's 2020. If I had that to do over again, yes, I would have. I was aware of the situation regarding equitable estoppel at the time I took the case. Ms. Beckel testified that she was in Mr. Steele's office with Mr. Kessler, or Ms. Kessler, Mr. Marshall, Mr. Steele, for approximately 3 hours. During that period of time, she testified that she made a written statement of her allegations, exactly what happened, that she waited while Randall Giles went out and checked a trash dumpster for some disciplinary reports that were torn up as a result of her agreeing to perform a certain physical on Mr. Elliott. Mr. Giles testified in his deposition that this search took approximately 15 to 20 minutes. She writes a statement, there's 20 minutes of time or so, she's in the office for 3 hours. Obviously there was more conversation that took place. This was explored by me during Ms. Kessler and Mr. Marshall's depositions. Both of them testified that they were not present the entire time, that once the Randall Giles returned with information that there was no, he was unable to find these documents, that they left the office, he continued to have a discussion with Mr. Steele. They testified that they were not aware of what was said with Mr. Steele. I'm only simply saying again with the level of sophistication of my client in this particular matter, when it was asked, did they say anything else, I believe Ms. Beckel took that to mean, did Mr. Steele, Mr. Marshall, and Ms. Kessler say anything else
well,
to you about
question
that at that point in time?
Well, that's the question should have asked her at the deposition.
Again, given the opportunity to do that again, Your Honor, I most certainly would. I would just simply like to point out that I believe that there are other facts present that create a genuine issue of material fact in this particular case. Again, it was explored by me during the depositions of Ms. Kessler, Mr. Marshall, and Bobby Steele. In fact, Bobby Steele testified that, yes, he indeed did tell Ms. Beckel that, hey, I don't want you discussing this with anyone else. Now, he denied that he threatened to terminate her employment, if he did. But again, she didn't testify that he said that when asked by Walmart's counsel in her deposition if they said anything else. Obviously, there were other things said. Ms. Beckel responded in an affidavit. The testimony was not in her deposition. There's no dispute. But that entire line of questioning was very void at that deposition. I believe there are material facts present that indicate that, yes, Ms. Beckel was told by Mr. Steele that her employment would be terminated.
Odd thing for her to forget at her deposition.
Well, again, this had been dragging on for 5 hours and was a very emotional affair for her.
When was the affidavit filed?
The affidavit was filed shortly after or right before the motion packet deadline.
How long after the deposition?
I would say 5 to 6 months. In the meantime, the depositions continued. In fact, the transcript of the deposition of Mr. Steele was not even available at the time the motion packet was filed. The affidavit of Ms. Becko, in fact, was dictated by me to supplement the motion packet while I was at a CLE seminar for several days.
You dictated the affidavit?
Over the telephone, yes.
Okay, thank you very much, Mr. Velotti. Mr. Reese?
May it please the court, Chad Rice for Appley Walmart. I think it's disingenuous to say that Ms. Beckel was an unsophisticated individual when it came to her rights and her abilities. And I want to note for the court that Ms. Beckel was a loss prevention associate.
Was it what?
A loss prevention.
Oh, yes. What is that?
A loss prevention associate takes troubleshoots with respect to problems within the distribution facility. It's a big warehouse in which Walmart uses to ship to its various stores. Some of her primary duties is if there's accidents on the premises, but more importantly, and it's established in the record, that she is a trainer and trains various individuals in various aspects. Not only was Ms. Beckel trained with respect to the policies and procedures of Walmart's sexual harassment policy, policy against retaliation, and reporting procedures. She received it in documentation. She received it in. She also received it in computer-based training. She received a refresher course on that. But more importantly, she was one of the individuals responsible for training other individuals with respect to harassment and discrimination in the workplace and how to report it and how to, and with respect to retaliation as well. She was not only aware of the policy, she was so aware that she was responsible for training other individuals with respect to those duties. And that is established in the record with respect to the stipulation of uncontested facts. And it's in the record, I think it's, if you look at the appendix 364 through 366, her knowledge, and I think it is disingenuous to say that she was not knowledgeable with respect to the reporting procedures. And
what is her educational? Does the record show what her educational attainments are?
I do not believe the record does reflect her education in that regard. The question presented to the court is first, is not whether she has a retaliation claim, and it's not a situation of whether this is a continuing violation, but whether or not the sexual harassment that allegedly took place, and we admitted it true for purposes of summary judgment, which occurred on August 8th and 9th and before that period of time, and which was promptly investigated into the wee morning hours of August 10th, whether she timely filed her charge of discrimination. She did not file her charge of discrimination until October 1st, 1999. She was terminated on May 8th, 1999. It was the tolling period from the time the period for the 300-day period prior to her filing of the charge of discrimination began on December 5th, 1998. Well after. This is not a situation that Justice Thomas just addressed the last couple weeks or last month in the Morgan case. This is not a situation where there is continuing harassment that occurred. Mr. Elliott, the alleged harasser, and Ms. Beckel were separated. They were put on different shifts at different times. And as a matter of fact, appellant's counsel has conceded in the brief that he does not dispute the findings of the trial court that there was no harassment that occurred, no sexual harassment that occurred after, after December 5th, 1998. So it's not a situation where it's a continuing violation, but it is a situation which the entire sexual harassment which plaintiff complains of occurred on or before August 10th, 1998. And it's undisputed that there was no harassment that occurred on or after December 5th, 1998. Equitable estoppel is known as fraudulent concealment, as the court is very well knowledgeable of. It is tantamount to an employer hiding evidence or making promises not to raise the statute of limitations, that the employee is doing something, is not engaging in certain behavior in reliance on actions or deceptive practices of the employer. The trial court found that Walmart did not conceal any evidence with respect to any of the allegations of what had occurred. As a matter of fact, it was very open and conducted a prompt investigation and took remedial action within hours and days of the report of the harassment. They made no promises with respect to whether or not they would not raise a statute of limitations. That issue was never raised. They did nothing with respect to preventing plaintiff from pursuing her legal remedies. I think by her sophistication and knowledge with respect to the policies and procedures of Walmart with respect to sexual harassment and retaliation, that she was well aware of her remedies. There is no deliberate design in any part of the record that would cause plaintiff to delay her filing of the charge of discrimination. I think the cases are very clear that you've got to actively prevent, there's got to be some active deception on the part of the employer in these types of cases that would prevent in some manner from plaintiff from pursuing her legal remedies. And Walmart simply did not do that in this particular case. The Shanoff case is probably one of the most apposite cases in which threats were made by the supervisor to Mr. Shanoff, indicating that he should not file a charge of discrimination. She had friends that could take care of him. And the court looked at those allegations, those threats that the supervisor was making against the employee, and they said, no, you know, Title VII already prevents an individual from retaliating against another individual. If I could make the analogy, if a supervisor said to their employee, I want you to engage in sex with me in order to keep your job, and if you don't, then you're going to be terminated. That is a similar type situation that she is being prevented. She is being told that, you know, she is to engage in illegal activities, that she is being harassed, and she is being threatened with termination. The court, I'm not aware of any court that would hold that equitable estoppel would apply in that particular case. Judges, I would simply like to address with respect to the deposition that was taken of plaintiff, she was asked what was discussed at the meeting on August 10th, what was indicated to her, and it was never raised that Mr. Steele told her that her job was being threatened or would she would be terminated if she told other individuals. Obviously, an employer does not want banter and gossip throughout the workplace when it's investigating such a serious matter. But there is nothing in her deposition, when she had the opportunity to tell me what was discussed, that Mr. Steele had threatened her job. Her affidavit is very unclear on who told her and what the parameters are, but it directly contradicts what her deposition testimony. Even if we would believe her affidavit, it is not that type of conduct for which this court recognizes that equitable estoppel should apply.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Wright. And I believe your time had expired. Yes, okay. Well, thank you very much to both counsel.